Well, I wasn't gonna go see Deadpool, but with that popcorn bucket, I'm fucking in.
They're not really doing that, are they?
I don't think so. It'd be pretty brilliant if they did, though.
You weren't gonna go see Deadpool?
I'm just
Okay, this whole joke. Django.
f***ing Doesn't have to be real, Jeff.
Everything has to be real. Place Presents Perfectly Acceptable Podcast. This is episode 348. I am always your host, Jeff Figley.
I'm Django. I prefer thick ice.
Oh,
I'm
Django
Roman.
Is thick ice born. Sorry, Roman.
I'm Roman. I prefer shaved ice. I don't know.
Oh, that's my
Oh,
favorite
shit.
stuff in the world. That was quick thinking, Roman.
Thanks.
Wow. I really like shaved ice. If you noticed a sense of urgency in my voice when we started at the beginning of this podcast, you were not mistaken, fair listener. Django, do you want to tell the folks what you've been doing and need to get back to?
Oh, I've just been doing some long overdue accounting, and it takes longer than it should. It always does.
It does. It's terrible. And you know what? If you are like us, then the heated baiting breath of doom itself is breathing down your neck, because tax day is in 2 days. At the time of listening, it's today. So we, as the Perfectly Acceptable Podcast, a comic book podcast in the Pacific Northwest, all about comic books and taxes, would encourage you to get your stuff done. You don't want to incur any penalties, all right? Roman, have you done your taxes?
For this year? Oh, no, not yet.
Okay, so that was the wrong person to ask. Django, you've done your taxes, right?
Yeah, I gotta mail the check, but yeah.
Nice. You gonna get that off tomorrow?
No, probably the next day.
Okay.
It's not due till the next day.
Yeah, yeah.
What
yeah,
could
yeah,
go
yeah.
wrong?
Nothing could go wrong.
Jeff,
yeah.
Not only that, I'm also doing a giant graphic design project
yeah.
for the Fiamma Burger Comics Place collab. Is that how the kids say it? A collab?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 We do.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're doing the Superhero Month starting in about a week, and that goes through Free Comic Book Day and through our big late May Super Duper Nerd Sale. And then also on top of that, I'm onboarding another shop. So things are busy right now.
You're so good. You're so good at it, bud.
You are.
Thank you for not saying precious.
You're so good. And
precious.
Sorry, Roman.
I was just gonna say, he's so good he doesn't even have to use my favorite accounting firm, Dewey Cheatham and Howe.
Oh,
God, that's two podcasts in a row that I've been on that Dewey Cheatham and Howe came up, Roman.
Wait, well that came
done.
Up before. Where's the
Yeah.
Jeff and I were on a podcast that will be released in a few weeks called, is it Comic Industry Insiders with Adam?
Oh yeah.
Adam Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be out in a little bit. And I think that's where it came up.
I
or was
so.
It the Data Bros that
or
we
Data
also
Bros.
Recorded?
We do a lot of podcasts,
I don't know.
Which is
Yeah.
crazy because we're trying to do accounting stuff between podcasting, between graphic design work, between work shifts, between orders.
It's been fun.
Yep. Well, I like that it comes up so many times. That's one of my favorite Three Stooges bits.
Oh, I thought it was a Prairie Home Companion bit, but I'll allow it.
Yeah, maybe it is, but the Stooges did it first.
Welcome to the AARP episode
yes.
of Perfectly Acceptable Podcast.
ARP, ARP! Now listen, okay, all right? This is episode 348. Good Lord. That's
Slowly
a lot of
I turn.
Django and I sat down in the nude, two cups of coffee, a little bit of cream. He's gotten me on the cream train. And we talked about if we were gonna, you know, put off an episode this week, and we just love doing it too much, and we couldn't possibly leave you guys in the lurch. So we're gonna do a quick one, okay? And for those keeping track at home, several years ago, probably 2 years ago, we changed the official recording time of our podcast from 8:30 to 8 o'clock. It has been an 8 o'clock recording time for a couple years. And invariably, once a month, at like 8:10, we'll be like, we should probably text Roman. And he will have thought the podcast was at 8:30, which happened tonight. So,
yep.
Roman, thank you for gracefully ushering us into senility with you.
You're welcome.
ARP.
It's not just for advanced age role players anymore.
No, it's not. It's for the dog fan in you as well. Arpo.
Yeah, listen up, porcupine.
Okay, so listen, okay? We
Think
got
that was a Three
momentum.
Stooges thing.
We've
It
got,
was.
okay,
That's what
this
Moe used to call Larry because of his hair.
guy's, I'm trying to be agile. And if you keep doing this, I'm gonna make us talk about Rush the whole episode.
Roman, let him talk.
No, I can talk about Rush. I want to hear this.
God damn it.
Yeah,
I want to hear Jess Rush
yeah.
podcast.
Oh, don't give me any ideas. Nope, that's an easy idea to shoot down because I don't have time. I don't have time anymore for flippant starting a podcast humor.
Turned like four podcasts I've been on with you lately into a Rush podcast at some point.
Yeah, I did. I have,
Yeah,
yes.
go
Well
ahead,
done.
roll the bones.
You know what? Do we cheat him and how? We're just gonna get right into this thing. Dang it. Did anybody else read Action Comics 1064, the first chapter of The House of Brainiac by Joshua Williamson?
Heck
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
Okay. I liked this book,
Not
and I'll
me.
tell you why. Well, I want to know what you guys think as well, but what I want to say is it was pretty good. I mean, looking forward to Django being upset that there's a whole planet of Zarnians, but I loved the reveal that that the Lex, the LL bot technology thing was not something that Lex knew about. And just in that wonderful moment of the one panel reveal, and like Lex is out of prison and he sees that projection of him that's been helping Superman and everybody this whole time. And he's like, "What is this?" And they're like, "You built that." He's like, "No, I didn't." And bam, it's Brainiac. Like, guys, that was cool.
That was amazing and a great reveal for Lex and for us. Like yeah, I thought that was a really cool thing that I mean, I'm sure Josh Williamson has been kind of slow rolling that towards us the whole time.
Yeah, I'm sure he has. I bet we could go back and see the breadcrumbs from it. Roman, what did you think about that whole thing?
I'm trying to find the page you guys are on. Well,
It's
I
when
haven't been reading Action Comics, so I didn't realize that there was anything
So you didn't read
good about that.
Superman this week?
I read Action Comics.
Oh, okay.
I haven't been reading Action Comics before this issue, so
Okay,
I didn't know anything
okay.
about this Lex Luthor
Okay.
hologram thing.
Well, it
But I was
seems
fine
like
with it.
he would know, considering how much he's been talking to Superman and stuff, but I did love the reveal if I didn't question it.
Yeah, and I like the idea of bringing back the Luthor Brainiac team, because like when I was a kid, that was one of the first I remember the ads that showed like Lex Luthor and Brainiac shaking hands over Superman's body on a beach somewhere, and they were saying evil things, and I was like, oh my gosh, what's this? Until I finally got the issue years later, and so I just that's one of my favorite villain teams.
I thought that the beginning of this issue was amazing.
And gorgeous.
Just Lois Lane on her day off
Yeah.
as we're getting introduced to the full cast. And it's long. Like it's a long sequence of Lois just going on a jog aggressively, not like setting boundaries with people who want to rope her into working. And maybe that's just the place I'm at this week. Being tied to my desk and wishing I was doing something else, like standing or sitting in the sun.
You have a standing desk.
Oh, what am I doing?
Oh yeah, standing desks are on. I'm like, oh, come on, Perry White's running for mayor. They're just imitating Marvel with Kingpin and then Luke Cage being mayors. And they're turning all the characters into mayors.
Somebody's got to be a mayor, Roman.
It's
Well,
true.
yeah, but I want Perry to be the editor in chief. I don't know who is Lois editor in chief now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Who
Yeah,
else could it
she's.
be?
I couldn't remember. Yeah, I kind of liked. I was like the page of Lois, the good morning thing, and I was like, ah, come, Lois isn't this goofy, but it was fine.
I kind of
I
liked
am.
it.
It's
The
funny you mentioned
like, yeah.
Django being mad about all those Zarninians because I'm mad about it. I was like, what? I thought Lobo and then his daughter were the last ones.
I don't know that Django's actually mad, but as I read it, I was like, that's not going to sit well with Django.
The
So, but
ads really irked me. But
yeah.
reading this, I thought it was pretty awesome, even though, like, why would they all use the same turns of phrase?
Yeah, are they all clones of Lobo?
I
No.
don't know.
Because they refer to him as like you killed my old cousin or something, or you fought my
Oh,
cousin.
okay. So,
Yeah.
but so they're around because Brainiac like had a section or Zarnia or something saved,
Oh,
something
okay, that
like
makes
maybe.
sense.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
well.
I don't know if they said that in this issue, but that's what I'm
I
assuming.
don't think they did, but that's a really smart idea, Roman. And the double page spread of them like diving to Earth is so good.
Yeah, it's especially like right after Superman saying, get to safety now. Like, does Jimmy know that he's Superman at this point?
I don't know.
I don't.
I
Yeah,
think
no.
so.
I hope
I
so,
think
because
so.
otherwise Clark just blew it. That the shot with where Clark flies down and gives a little kid a high five at the baseball game
Yeah.
was, or the soccer game
Oh.
was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was sweet.
I have a big problem with Zarnians that look pretty. Like the main Zarnian bad guy, I saw him and I was like, oh hell yeah, he's got like a skull over his crotch and skull knee pads. But then there's all these like kind of frou-frou
Kind of like the one look,
Fonzie Zarnians around, kind of like the new Lobo
yeah.
that they tried out for a little while. I don't know. I could probably come up with a million problems with that, but the rest of the book was so good that I just kind of enjoyed the shit out of it.
It is interesting how all the Zarnians are drawn kind of as the middle point between Lobo and that newer rendition of Lobo. Like, there's a strong
Yeah.
amount of that sort of pretty androgynous thing.
Hashtag not my Lobo.
And then just by the end, like the big reveal of all the different brainiacs. So what do you think's going on there with that, Roman? What's the deal with all these
Yeah.
different brainiacs?
Man, I love
What's
that final page just because
yeah.
it's, all the different ver even the original Goofy Brainiac with the Van Dyke and the cape. I don't know. I don't know. I want I mean, are those clones? Because Brainiac and then Brainiac 5 in the future, and there's all these different iterations of Brainiac. It's like, oh, did he? I don't know. I dig it. There's the 80s cheesy Brainiac that's a cyborg with
I
its
love
like
that.
brain exposed. I
I
love
love
that one.
that one. Yeah, that's one of my three favorites for sure. And you
Yeah,
get
I'm
the
gonna keep
animated
on
series
reading
one.
this brand. Boy, I do like the bad Lobo or the bad Lobo knockoff guy with the skulls. That is awesome.
I want a skull crotch. I've wanted one since I read The Dark Knight Returns and Batman breaks the guy's skull crotch.
That should
Django
just be
the
the name of the
sorry.
villain, Skull Crotch.
The very first page is like a Lobo ship with Brainiac tendrils and like three dots like flying through space. That's pretty cool.
Isn't that just Brainiac's ship?
Oh,
Doesn't he live in a skull?
it's a
I guess he
version of
does.
like
Yeah,
his
you're right. You're right. You're right.
his
Yeah,
80s ship.
you're right.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he's basically just living in Lobo's crotch, though.
Yeah. Crotch
That's what
skull.
you're saying.
I give it
Yeah,
an 8.5.
I give it a
That's the
nine,
dream.
baby.
9. I love that. That's awesome.
I'll give it an 8.5 as well.
Hell
Oh,
yeah.
I do have one question though. I was surprised. I thought Lena Luthor was, maybe that's old continuity. I thought she was Lex's sister, and this, she's his daughter.
I think maybe, Roman, you should go back and read the last 20 issues of one of the better Superman comics that have ever come out.
Yeah, like
Okay,
definitely in the last like 10 years.
but
It's
how
been
did she
really
have,
good.
but
But
how
that's
did
his
she?
she?
daughter, as far as we know. But she's like adopted. Oh, she's raised by his mom.
Yeah.
Oh, so whatever happened to his sister?
I don't know, Roman.
Well,
You
I
have
don't
to ask
know.
Lex.
I'll have to Google.
Luthor, I hardly know her.
Har. Roman, did you read Dark Spaces Dungeon, the series?
Yes,
Okay,
I
cool.
did.
I'm very eager to hear both of your guys' thoughts on the end of a horror miniseries that came out that we've talked a lot about.
You should start,
All right.
Roman, because once I start, I'm just going to keep going.
Well, I'm going to skip ahead and just say I love the way it ends because it's so dark and bleak and
Yeah.
lacking all hope. And that guy's the villains, I don't know what we call him, but his traps are so freaking insidious. They're some of the, I want to see a movie
Yes,
of this
this
with these traps.
felt like a Fincher film, but also like it should be made into a movie. And it's definitely one of my favorite horror comics of the last long period of time, probably not favorite of the last couple of years. Django, I'm excited for you to take it away.
I thought that this was an amazing end to the series. I wish that I had read them all again before I got to this issue, because I think I would have seen some stuff. I'm a little bit disappointed that it's over halfway through, and then you know that there's got to be something else to follow it up. I think that that's where having this as a movie in the movie theater where you can't check the progress bar
Would
would
be
be a huge
nice.
advantage. But I thought that this was like ballsy and not a happy thing, and gives the guy closure in the worst possible way. I thought it was wonderful. The whole series has been interesting, but the last issue is like top notch for me.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Hayden Sherman, we've been talking about his art for the last like year and a half. He is fantastic, but this is just every aspect of it just seems totally professional. Like he has been doing this forever. It's atmospheric. The characters are great. There's like a little Tim Sale in there almost at times. It's really good. And like Roman said, the ending is awesome. We won't spoil it, but this is really good. And it's my favorite Scott Snyder thing in quite a while also. And like Django said, it's balls to the wall. I hope that he enjoyed not worrying about being the main writer of Batman and getting to write kind of fucked up stuff again because I love that. I give it a 9.5.
I give it a 10.0, man. I think
Nice.
this issue is awesome. I think the series is awesome.
Ooh, actually, yours is a little bit dry, Django.
Yeah, I've been just sitting here, Jeff. That's
Eating a lot of
it's
salt?
fine. I just haven't really even got up to
Make sure you're
put
drinking
anything in
water,
me or
bud.
take anything out of me.
Drink some water, okay?
Okay. All right. What do you give it, Roman?
I'll give it a 9.5.
Nice.
And I'm giving the series as a whole a 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. 10 on the whole series.
Okay, a thing that I'm excited to hear about, Django, from you is, did you read the second issue of Napalm Lullaby?
No, not yet.
You and I
I brought it home.
were both not particularly fond of the first issue.
Yeah.
I think it's a classic instance of like a Django, like this should have been an oversized first issue and one and two should have been combined because I left two
Yep.
with not really much of an idea of what the story was or who the main characters were or anything. I love Rick Remender and I like this art a lot, but I think as far as a first issue goes, it didn't do super well. This would have been a much better first issue, at least the character work that was done here. So you get to
Really?
know the protagonists and the motivations and some other characters and a little bit more about the social structure of the world and sort of how things work, but none of it is like super boring or laborious to get through. I was just curious. It was a marked step up from the first issue, but I'm not fully sure where it's going. It's not like by the end of the second issue of Sacrificers or whatever, like maybe it was the third issue, where I was like, oh, this is this, and I like this a lot. This is still, it might just be like a high mid-tier book.
I don't mind not knowing what's going on, but I would like to know if it's something I'm interested in at all.
Yeah.
And
I
that was
mean,
where I was stuck with the last issue. I did absolutely bring this home and I read Little Black Book and Ultimate X-Men number 2 and number 2 instead of reading this one right before the
yeah.
podcast. So.
Roman, are you reading Napalm Lullaby?
I'm not, no.
Okay. It was in, yeah, new Rick Remender number 2.
What kind of, yeah, what kind of number, no, what kind of number do you give this number 2?
I gave it an 8.0.
Nice.
It's a
That's a
step
good
up. I
score.
think the first one was maybe like a 6.5 or something.
Yeah, solid.
Roman, what was the thing you were the most excited to talk about on the podcast this week about?
Let's see.
Is it the thing that's going on with your feet?
Gerbils.
My feet.
Gerbil drip.
Go ahead. I don't want to sidetrack
Awesome.
us here.
Now I'm thinking we're doing some kind of Tarantino podcast now or something. Boy, there's two horror books beneath the trees where nobody sees, of course, which I love.
Oh, how is that going? We don't talk about it because I'm not reading it.
You mother son of a gun.
Well, you should talk about it. Let me hear about it.
I'm disappointed because with this issue, I realize there's only one more issue to go. Since it's only a 6-issue series, and every issue has been so good. I mean, it's just so beautiful and bizarre because it's an anthropomorphic world with all these, anthropomorphized animals, animals, and one of them's a serial killer, and it's just gorgeously drawn. But this issue, she's a humanoid bear that talks in English and everything.
Doesn't sound like something I'd like.
But she meets a regular bear in the woods. So there's both kinds of animals on this in this realm.
Happened in the first
It's,
issue too.
did it? I don't remember. It's
Yeah,
just been.
the regular bear saw her dismembering people.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's just such a good serial killer story, and then a serial killer on the run because there's another serial killer that is now competing and has framed our bear protagonist. She can't really say hero.
Bastards.
Yeah, I was thinking, is Sam, have you had Sam read this? I guess you're not reading it, so Sam hasn't read it. I think Sam would like this too, because
Yeah, she
she
maybe
like
read the first issue. I think she did. I brought and read that one home, but then we haven't had enough of them since issue two,
Oh.
three, or four. Now we finally had enough to have spare copies for.
Yeah, the trade will be a good sell.
Yeah.
But one more issue, and our protagonist is Sam is gonna, or wait, is the bear's name Sam too? I think it is.
Yeah, I think it
It's going
is,
to be
Sam.
going. It's going to be going up against the competition, the newcomer, the greenhorn serial killer, and it's going to be awful.
I love the like there's a dream sequence in here, and I'm not usually the dream sequence guy, and I really like this one.
Yeah. The things with the multicolored snakes was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like
It's
Dexter but cute but with more menace.
huh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Go
I
ahead.
am looking forward to
Thanks.
reading it. I love the art in it too. Like it's like you're saying, it's cute, but it has a a lot of dark stuff in it when you actually look at it or read it.
Yeah. Though it's actually, and I'm always excited to read it, but it was actually not the horror book I was excited about
What
talking about
was the one?
on the podcast. It's actually the new one by Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly, The Principles of Necromancy, number one.
Oh, how was that? Image book, right? Or Boom?
No, it's a company, a new company, Megma.
Oh, yeah. He bought our art.
And this is another, I mean, the art is great. It's funny, we were talking about Geddy Lee earlier, and there's
Ooh.
the main character in this who they call, they're a witch, but they call him something else. But anyway, and actually, he kind of has the Geddy Lee hair when he first pulls his hood back. I thought it's Tom Petty
Ooh.
or maybe Geddy Lee.
Roman, what
But
is it
anyway,
about?
it's about maybe a medieval
22
Viking
pages?
times. There's this crazy, there's this
Yeah.
doctor, but he's kind of a more of a witch, more of a Dr. Frankenstein type that's shows up in this their kind of Viking village, and he's gonna help them recover from their battles and stuff. But he starts, doing horrible, horrible things and restoring people to life, but by doing it with these awful body horror experiments. And whenever he operates on somebody, or if you can call it that, he puts on this god-awful demon bird-headed mask thing. I don't know how he sees through it, but the eyes move, so maybe they kind of become his eyes. And it's terrifying, and the art is very cool. It's very bloody, very gory, very sick and twisted.
Who's drawing it?
It is, oh man, it's one of those names I'm gonna butcher. Eamon Winkle.
Winkle.
Yeah, never heard of him, but yeah, good artist.
So you like
Very
that even more
atmospheric.
than BT's, eh?
Well, I wouldn't say even more. I mean, they're
But
very, I
you're
mean,
more excited.
they're both horror and gory, but Beneath the Trees is just slightly better. This one is very unique and in some ways more terrifying even. There's a there it's grotesque. Grotesque in all the best ways.
Did we get scores for all these books? What do you got for
I don't
this
think so.
necromancy?
I would give this, oh boy, I'd give this a 9. I'd give Beneath the Trees, Where Nobody Sees, I would give every issue a 10. I mean,
Wow.
it's just an amazing series.
Yeah, it's pretty fabulous. I think you're gonna like it when you get around to reading it
Yeah.
at age 62 or 63, Jeff. I gave this issue of Beneath the Trees an 8.5.
Nice. So Django, I'm excited to hear your thoughts. I keep saying I'm excited to hear someone's thoughts, but
Are you looking forward to hearing my thoughts,
you
Jeff?
confirmed that you read Ultimate Spider or Ultimate X-Men number 2, which I'm a little bit surprised
Ah,
about.
yes, I did, because I knew that you would talk about it
Oh,
on your
well,
podcast.
yeah. Thanks for joining me on my podcast. Well, how did you feel about it?
I decided some things reading this.
Okay.
I like this art a lot more than most Peach Momoko covers. I think most panels in here I like more than her covers. Also, this feels like a Boom book to me more than a Marvel book, and it's pretty good, but I'll probably only read the next one if it's a slow week. Those were all of the thoughts I had while I was reading it.
Those are good thoughts on it. I've got some things too.
Okay.
I like the art in it more than most Peach Momoko cover art, and I liked it more than the first issue's art. And I think it's because it maybe felt like pages were a little bit more, and I don't mean this critically, but like splash pagey, or like pages were more art pieces kind of than I feel like there was more paneling in the previous one. And this one's got a lot of larger panels, which I think works well for her art.
Okay.
Yeah, I do agree. It feels kind of like a Boom book. I don't really know what's going on, but
Yeah.
it's kind of like the current Wolverine book or something, which is like I start it every time, or Incredible Hulk. That's a good comparison. Like I start it, I don't really know what's going on. It's a quick read. I don't love it at the end, but like no part of the process was more work or something than the enjoyment I got out of it. So yeah,
Right.
that's what I'll keep up with it. It's it's quick. The art, I like the art. It's not my favorite, but I like it. And this one, I preferred how the whole storytelling was done in this one. So yeah, I liked it. I liked it more than the first issue. Still not my favorite thing, but I like it. Roman, where are you at with this?
I actually haven't read it, 'cause I'll admit it publicly, I'm not really that big a Peach Momoko fan,
Oh, what?
but
Heresy!
once yeah, But both of you saying that the insides are better than the covers, that's got me curious now.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to two people who aren't particularly large fans of her art either, so.
Yeah, I mean, I tried reading one of her previous X-Men miniseries or something. I read a
Yeah.
couple issues. I was like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I gave it a 7.5.
I give it a 7.
Yeah, that's not bad. Django, what were you most excited to talk about this week?
Well, we probably already did, but I'll tell you, there's still a lot of books that I really liked. I'd love to talk a little bit about some crime noir that
Yeah,
we
let's
read
do
this
it.
week.
Yeah.
Did you read Fantastic Four number 19, Jeffrey?
I did, Django, and that cover was gorgeous to begin with.
Yes.
But,
Yes.
oh, I forgot to bring home an Uncanny Valley all week.
Oh, you haven't read Uncanny Valley?
No,
Dude,
dang.
that was an excellent comic book.
I just saw
It was
Roman
good.
move one, and I don't know why I've forgotten to bring it home all week. It's the only one I didn't even remember it came out. We were talking about something else though.
Fantastic Four, but we could talk about Uncanny Valley
No,
instead if you
let's finish
want. Like
Fantastic
I
Four
know
and
you're
then
looking
move
forward
over.
to getting some spoilers.
I loved this issue 'cause it was just like a total loyally done noir issue told in the fantastic like with the Fantastic Four with slightly different versions of themselves, and then at the end they made it make sense as to why you just read that. But
Yeah.
for most of the issue it was just getting to read a crime noir story with the Fantastic Four.
In mostly black and white with red for the dress
Yeah.
and blue for the cops, and then finally yellow for the fire. Yeah, I thought that this was super well done. Like halfway through, I was like, this is awesome. There is no reason for this to be happening. And I don't understand why Ryan North would take this departure. This doesn't make any goddamn sense, but I'm just going to enjoy the ride and let him do it. It's probably like one of the kids writing a story for school or something. And then when we get to the end and find out what was going on, it's like, this is so fucking cool. Like
Yeah.
he just like follows his writing passion and comes up with an excuse to do it, but it never feels like an excuse, right? It's like a real solid reason that he's told these stories every issue. You know, like the house where the thing was falling through air, and the every time he's got some conceit, I think in the hands of a different writer, it might feel a little bit cheesy, like they're trying to shoehorn this concept in. But this is, yeah. The turns of phrase in here are amazing too. Like it's
Yeah.
not even authentic. But it feels real.
Roman, you're a Fantastic Four fan and you're a noir fan, so what happened to you here?
Boy, Jingles summed up pretty well.
Yeah,
I didn't know why
Jingo.
this was happening, but it was so much fun. And the way that North worked in, cameos and really good roles for people like Namor,
Yeah.
and it was cute too, because when he did that, I thought in this reality, Namor is a cop, and then it made me think: is the original Human Torch going to show up? Because in his regular fake human identity, he was cop, and Namor wasn't. But they'd always fight. But all the little details or anything, and I love Alicia with as a detective, and Ben as her muscle.
Yeah.
That was so much fun. And yeah, the resolution, the reason it's all happening was pretty amazing. And the villain they used for it, that was great and so in character for that villain. And it's a villain we don't see very often anymore. So that was really cool. It was just a great issue.
And Sue just makes such a perfect damsel.
Yeah. And who was the artist this issue?
He draws thing with a neck.
Yeah, somebody Gomez. I can't find the credits page now.
Carlos.
But yeah, great art. And yeah, the way he drew Sue, and especially in the opening pages, just where she's got those great big wide eyes, and you think maybe she's going to be a femme fatale, but luckily she's not. So cool.
Yeah,
Did you guys read the last letter?
no.
Just crap, as are most of your comics, RC Graphics 68.
What did he respond?
Well, you can't win them all.
I loved it, and Mike's statement was going to be from like the first or second page when it set up like Sue is the damsel. I was just so excited to be like, okay, well, I know the tropes by now, so I kind of get now why it's not necessarily a unique story. It's how are they going to make like these characters fit into the tropes of this genre? And so that was, I was couldn't wait to see what they were going to do. So I gave it a 9.
I can't find a single thing wrong with it. I gave it a 10.
Nice.
I'm gonna give it a 10 as well, actually.
Man, this is a sticky desk, you guys.
It is Django. It's a good thing you're wearing shorts.
Nobody can know that, Jeff.
Yeah, sorry, I take it
It's gonna
back.
stay our secret. I only wear shorts at the YMCA and at
Oh,
home.
and Django, speaking of you getting excited in shorts, the next issue page for it, I just thought of you because Ben's holding a scan gun at the
Got a
reviewer.
barcode scanner. I
Oh, right,
know. I know. I'm so excited for that cover. You guys want
Yeah, Django needs to get that
to
framed.
stay on this noir train?
Sure.
Noir train?
Yeah.
The Batman First Night, Book Two,
Hell yeah.
a comic that shares the title with another comic called Batman First Night, with no hyphen and no the.
I don't remember that one.
That was First Night, right? Oh, maybe it was just The Night, the Chip
Okay.
Zdarsky one.
Oh, there,
Oh
yeah, that
yeah, that
was
was
the
The
night.
Night, just The Night. Okay, never mind. Andrew, we can cut all that out, right?
And
So
there
I don't
was
sound like a
First
fool.
Wave.
Oh, First Wave with Doctor Strange or
Yeah.
Doctor Golden
Savage.
Skin, Doctor Savage.
Yeah. And First
So
Bat.
Man Bat,
Oh.
Real Batman.
Okay.
Oh, yuck, 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 yuck.
Well,
I got a lust for life.
I'm glad to have helped reinvigorate that in you.
Oh, I got Roman there. I thought this was an awesome comic. The second issue, just straight up dark crime noir Batman, real world. He's got scars from being electrocuted in the electric chair. We get a ridiculous reason that he's not dead after being electrocuted in the electric chair. He steals Gordon's car. He's fighting brutal zombie kind of guys. He's all alone, which is weird, but maybe it looks like he's going to get an Alfred with this rabbi.
Yeah, maybe.
Tommy guns and old cars and Batman in his purple gloves wearing the Dr. Hurt costume for half the book. Like, God, it's so good. I loved it.
Yeah, I do too. And there's still, I mean, the art is good. It's great, and sometimes it's kind of like, what the hell's going on with that person's face? But little
I think
homages
they're
to
just
movie
ugly.
stars, and for some reason, I think, I don't know, the artist just, I guess that was his basis of them. It shows a long shot of the kitchen. I was like, this is Wayne Manor's kitchen in the Flash movie. It's Michael Keaton's kitchen. The
Oh,
same table and
weird.
everything. I was like, oh, well, that's an odd little detail. No reason to be there, but okay.
I would say also an odd little detail for you to notice,
I
Roman.
would
Yeah, that was, yeah,
agree.
that's actually Okay.
more the odd thing that I noticed it, but
Okay, but also, does that mean that it's Michael Keaton's kitchen from Batman 89 or Batman Returns?
I guess it would be, because yeah, that's in the Flash movie. That's the Michael Keaton
I mean,
Batman.
it could be.
Yeah.
I guess a couple pages later, they do draw the front of a house, and it is the same as the Batcave play toy that folded open into three wings.
Oh,
And
rad.
had that
Oh,
top middle
cool.
thing and had the windows.
Oh,
So,
that's
and that was
awesome.
based on the Tim Burton movie.
Wow. This is a thoughtful comic. Like, it doesn't necessarily read like it immediately, but the dialogue and the mood are spot on. And the little, like Roman was saying, like the actors that it's referencing and a lot of the other little bits and pieces, I think, are really well thought through.
Yeah, there's a little bit of, they're including, the undercurrents of, it was 10 years into the Depression at this time, and they're mentioning the poverty and the homeless people and Hoovervilles and all that, and they haven't had Bruce give his thoughts or any dialogue about that, but it's there in the background, and I'm kind of waiting for him to be confronted about those things.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Roman, because as I was reading this, I was like, all right, yeah, so it's like a Batman story told like it's in the time of actually when the comic book started coming out. And then I was like, well, wait, the comic book, when it started coming out, was in the time that it was coming out. It just wasn't this good.
Yeah.
You know, or
Yeah.
like it was just a
And
different type of storytelling.
I really liked in this how we find out, at least I don't remember this from the first issue, we find out that, Batman's made kind of a tenuous deal with the guy, one of the guy who runs a brothel here in Gotham. And it reminded me of, the same deal he made with the Penguin over in the Penguin series. And it's like, I like that in the beginning, Batman had to make these deals in order to establish himself and start functioning in the town. And I love the fact that we get some, no spoilers, but at the end of this, that we maybe are going to get at least a little glimpse in the next issue of why the original Batman in the Golden Age, for at least for a little while, carried a gun.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Yep, that was a pretty crazy final page reveal. I love the art in it. Like everything everyone just said about the story, I love the writing of it. It's a great Batman story in that time period, but like the art to me is what like levels the whole thing up. Like the character design, Batman's costume, it looks like the old stuff, but it's like the Dr. Hurt costume as well. He's got the purple gloves, which again, I don't know why we're beholden to it, but I do love the way it
Fucking
looks.
purple gloves.
I love the horns. And I also just love, like, you know, Batman goes back and sees that Jewish doctor, and he's like, "I don't know if it's possible to say be safer. I started this mission a few weeks ago, and in that time, I've been beaten, shot at, gassed, and knifed, and electrocuted." It's like, shit, man, I have some bad weeks sometimes, but that is like all-time bad weeks for Batman. Wow.
Gotta do
Man,
graphic design, price some comics, do a bunch of bookkeeping and onboard. Oh, I got nothing.
I'm
Bruce
starting to
wins.
wonder if I'm maybe not good at this because it's only been a couple weeks and I've been shot, drugged, mugged, electrocuted, farted on, gassed, beaten up.
One guy called me a mean name.
Yeah, he said I was like a little piggy. He said, "Why don't you go eat more food, little piggy?" It's a fantastic comic. I liked this one even more than the first issue, and I liked the first issue a lot. I gave this one a 9.
I give it a 9 as well.
Yeah, I give it a 9.5. There's
Oh,
even
you
a, speaking of art, there's
slowly I
even
turn.
one page where
Flip.
Bats leaves the rabbi's place, and the very bottom panel where he's swinging away, it's such a Marshall Rogers Batman panel. It's so cool.
And the cover is done by the interior artist as well, Mike Perkins,
Mike
and
Perkins.
written by Dan Jurgens as well. But it's a great cover as well.
Oh yeah, Roman, there's so yeah, that's totally a Marshall Rogers cover and that or drawing. And then when he's jumping off the bridge, it's a Neil Adams take, I think. Like I saw that and I was like, oh, that's Neil Adams. Yeah. So just good job, guys. Good job, Mike
Very
Perkins
cool.
and Dan Jurgens.
And the
Perkins
B cover.
Jurgens.
Yeah, and
Huh?
the B cover is beautiful too.
Let me
Or maybe
see.
that's the
Flash
variant.
me.
I don't have one. It's
Oh,
the
okay.
it was the pulp,
Oh,
very
yeah.
pulpy
Those would look
cover.
good. Yeah.
Might have been Francovia, I'm not sure.
Guys, the last thing I have to say is that Transformer was fucking phenomenal. Tied for my highest score of the week with the dungeon. Change on the art, Jorge Corona, but still awesome. And I'm just very excited. It looks still very similar, but just slightly different. He's got a great art vibe for it. We get to
Can you
see Ultra
believe we're
Magnus.
7 issues in?
I can't. It's so awesome. I'm just feel like we're so lucky. I'm so lucky. This book is so good.
I don't tell Daniel Warren Johnson, but I don't miss him on
Really?
this. Like I thought this issue, the art was awesome. If you hadn't told me that they were changing artists, I wouldn't have known unless I was thinking about it. Like the mood and the direction of it feels consistent with his stuff. It doesn't look like him, but like everything else about it feels on brand with what he's set up.
Yeah, it's it fits perfectly.
Until you mentioned it, Jeff, I actually hadn't realized until right now that it is a different artist. Okay.
Yeah, I totally believe that.
What'd you
And
give it then?
I love the oh, I 9.5.
Oh,
Tied for
9.5.
9.5, the dungeon highest score of the week, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I give it an 8.
Nice.
I just don't have that Transformers erection that you do.
I love it so much.
I give it a 9.
Nice. Nice. And that transforming sound is the sound of this good GoBot heading out into the sunset. We rode nude this week, but if you wanted to send us a
Woohoo!
voicemail, we would love if you did. It was a convenient week to be dry, especially after being drenched in them last week in such a wonderful way. Send us a voicemail or an email to jeff@thecomicsplace.com. You can send an email to jeff@thecomicsplace.com, and we'll read it here on the podcast. We would love it. We would appreciate it. Will, where were you this week? Well, we wouldn't have read it anyway, so it's okay. Okay, we're in a hurry. We got stuff we got to do. I love comics and you boys, and I'm Jeff and Django. You get last word.
I Uncanny Valley 10. I'm Django.
Oh, really?
It's good, Jeff. It's
I
one of the best
forgot to talk
comics
about it because
ever.
again, I cannot keep it in my brain.
It's so good. It's
Okay.
so good. I don't know.
Roman, did you read it as well?
It was really good. I
Okay.
mean, it's so different and original.
Yeah.
Okay. I definitely will read it. There's no intentional not reading it. I just, if for some reason, it looks like a boom book that I wouldn't be reading.
It's so fucking good, dude.
Yeah,
You're
no,
gonna
I'm
love it when you
excited
read
for
it.
it. Yeah.
I'm Django.
I'm Rome.
And I'm Jeff with the last word.